Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Now let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Glory to God. Jesus, O God, who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, Lord, is buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, Father. We just thank you for the plan of salvation through them. We just ask you, God, to be with the ones, Lord, that's hurting, or that's going through pain and suffering and loneliness. We just ask you to be with them, be with all the sick, God. We just ask you to be with my family, Lord, and all these other families, Lord, that's going through similar situations. God, I know you can take care of all these things, God. We're just going to leave them in your hands. Father, we thank you for this past week, Lord. We had the prayer walk over at Kenwood, Lord, and the prayer conference over at Kenwood Church. Father, we just thank you for the blessings we got out of that. But I just ask you to be with Brother Cal this morning, God, as he brings forth the message of God, that you just anoint him from on high, God, that you speak through him, through the Holy Spirit, God, and give us a word, God, that we can go through the week with, Lord, and an encouragement to all of us, and be with Brother Billy, Lord, as he teaches. God, that you just enlighten him and enlighten us as he teaches us, God, that you give us the words. Father, that will strengthen us, oh God, and help us through this week, and we thank you for this spokesman from BCM this morning, God. We just ask you to bless her, bless the ministry. For all these things we pray in Jesus Christ, amen.
I want us to visit an old friend this morning. We're going to start off in the Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. There's a great hero of the faith there. And then we're going to go to Judges 11. But I want to start here in Hebrews 11 and specifically at verse 32. This fellow's name is Jephthah. He is an old friend. I love reading about him. He was one of the judges early on in Israel's life and winds up as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I love old friends. I've got an old friend. Where's Clay Birdwell? He's in here somewhere. There he is back here. And over the years, we've had a lot of old friends come in and are with us that I grew up with, played ball against. Anyways, it's just great to have old friends. Amen? Y'all are that glad, huh? All right. Help us, Jesus. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 11. Let's stand as we honor God's word, can we? Just going to read, start there in Hebrews 11, verse 32. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to Judges 11 for the rest of the sermon. Hebrews 11, 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. There he is. Also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And here's what Jephthah was known for. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Father, I pray that you might bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your authoritative word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, I love underdog stories. I like to hear about the underdogs. I don't know if you all are like that, but someone who has overcome great odds, someone who faced down trouble and wound up having victory. I think about Abraham Lincoln. Did y'all know he was born just up here in Hardin County, Kentucky, and then moved to the backwoods of Illinois, lived in a log cabin there, and yet he became one of our greatest presidents. And I think this morning about that biblical character named Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and yet wound up becoming the prime minister of Egypt. I don't know if y'all remember, I'm showing my age again. I don't know if y'all remember old George Foreman, but he grew up on the streets of Houston, broke, busted, and disgusted, and yet wound up becoming our heavyweight gold medal champion in boxing and was a two-time heavyweight champion and became the second time he won the heavyweight crown. He was in his 40s. I mean, underdog stories. I remember Tim Tebow in that overtime playoff astounded the football world as the underdog Denver Broncos whipped the Pittsburgh Steelers in that overtime playoff victory. And, you know, I think this is why the movies Rocky and Rudy, I love that movie, also underdogs. We like an underdog story, don't we? Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, we do. All right. Now, I want to talk to you about title of the message this morning is Faith from the Wrong Side of the Tracks. Faith from the Wrong Side of the Tracks. Now, you've already read, we've already read where Jephthah wound up in the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith, rather, in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of those great heroes of faith. But can I tell you, it didn't quite start out that way for Jephthah. Y'all ready? We're in Judges chapter 11. Now, verse 1. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead, that's his father, begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. Now, those verses teach us that Jephthah would not be bound by his past. He didn't let his past determine his future. Now, he didn't have a good start, did he? No fault of his own, right? I mean, his mom was a prostitute. His dad was an adulterer. His brothers never accepted him, didn't like him. And so this cat, I mean, he had a rough start. And along about the time his dad died, his half-brother said, "You know what? You don't belong here. We don't like you. This is not a place for you. You just need to get on up out of here." And Jephthah leaves, run off from the family and the farm. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but all of us have a past. Things maybe that didn't have a good beginning, maybe didn't have a good start, bad background, bad birth, whatever. But I want to tell you that that bad start doesn't have to determine how you wind up. I preached a message here several weeks ago. It's not how you get started. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. That's right. So, Jephthah leaves. And where would he go? What would he do? And he had a choice to make. Now, he could have decided to play the blame game and blame somebody for his circumstances. He'd been discarded. Wasn't his fault. He could have, like a lot of us do today, play the role of a victim. He could have made excuses for himself. Or he could make the choice to make something out of his life. And so this cat heads north to Tob from Israel, from where Gilead is, and heads north, winds up in Tob. And which is modern-day Syria, okay? And he becomes a great warrior and a great leader. An outcast, a nobody. How many of you know that God takes special pleasure in making nobodies into somebody for His glory? That's the story of Jephthah. And so somewhere along the way, He had a choice to make, and he decided that he would not let rejection, that he would let rejection teach him rather than defeat him. You might want to write that one down. He decided to make a concrete choice. I am not going to let what's happened to me determine my future. And I will tell you, I'm living proof of this. Amen? I mean, Shan, David Fry, Mike Boisall, Clay, they could all tell you, when we were all growing up, they never would have expected this. All right? I'm the poster child for this. And so Jephthah made the choice not to let his past determine his future. And I don't know who I'm talking here to today, but I believe there's probably somebody here, and you've been beaten up. Maybe you've been done wrong. And I think the deal today is this. You know, I am so sick. We live in a nation of victims. We've got that mindset today. Everybody's a victim. Everybody wants to, you know, blame whatever's going on on somebody else. We don't want to take responsibility for anything, and we certainly don't want to be accountable to anybody. And so he doesn't do that. He decides to let God. Now, the Bible just called him a mighty man of valor. This is a mighty man of God. He becomes a great leader in a godless culture. How suggestive is that to us this morning? You can become whoever God wants you to be. If you'll sell out to Christ and give your life to Him, He will use you for His glory and your good. By the way, I've said this a million times up in here. God has a better plan for your life than you do. He's able to do that, you know. He can accomplish what He wants to. And so Jephthah heads north after being discarded by his family, being thrown off the farm, and he winds up in a leadership role. Somehow or other, he learned how to do some military strategy, and he even grabbed some other nobodies with him and taught them how to have victory in their lives. And so I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but don't let your past determine what kind of life you're going to have. We are not bound by our past. Say that with me. We are not bound by our past. Now, here's the second truth in this passage. Look at verse 4. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon, that's the Ammonites, made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander that we may fight against the people of Ammon." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That's why we turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to the elders, "If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be a witness between us if we don't do according to your words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord. Truth number two, we are not bound by our foes, by our enemies. Now, again, God had made this a great man of valor, great warrior, great leader, up in a foreign nation, up in a foreign country. God had used him greatly. And so, have you ever heard the old saying, things always seem to come full circle. Right? What goes around comes around. Y'all with me? And so, all of a sudden, the Ammonites now were fierce fighters, great warriors. And they're wanting to, you know, wipe Israel off the map. Those folks in Gilead and southern Israel as well. And so they're wanting to, and you know what? They're without a leader. Hadn't God got a sense of humor? And so they start checking their list for leadership, you know. And they're checking their list, and they're checking it twice, and they're trying to find out who's naughty and where did that come from? But they're checking their list for leaders, and guess whose name comes to the top of the list? Jephthah. Jephthah. And yet he's up in Tob, Syria. And somebody said, you know what? We just better go beg him to come lead our army, or we're going to be toast. And so they show up, and the elders of Israel ask him, they said, listen, man, we're toast. The Ammonites are against us, and we don't have a chance. But if you'll come lead us, I think we can have victory. Because you're a leader. You're a great warrior. You're a mighty man of valor. And so he looks at them, and he says, huh, you guys are the same ones that ran me off. And now you want me to be your leader? This cat, these guys, these elders, from it, they remind me so much of our nation. They really do. I mean, we've done everything we can do to kick God out of our public life. And yet, when we get in a mess, what do? As a nation, we call on God. And then he delivers us, and we go right back to our backslidden condition. And so Jephthah, he's saying, now if God delivers us, if I become your leader and God delivers us, are you going to follow me? I'm a Leave It to Beaver fan. I love old shows because I'm an old man. And I love Beaver Cleaver. And you remember what Beaver Cleaver would say about Jephthah? He's giving them the business right now. He had an opportunity to speak truth to these people who had booted him out. And he says, are you really going to follow me? You're going to let me lead you? The armies of Israel? Yes. And then they promised to follow his leadership. And after he had prayed, he accepted their invitation. But did you catch that down there in verse 11? He says, Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. This is a praying man. And he prays not as an afterthought, but even before they get ready to go into battle with the Ammonites, he's praying. This cat is praying. We had such a great weekend in our prayer revival at Kenwood. It was awesome. Yesterday morning was Holy Ghost. It was just fantastic to hear God's people pray. And so I want to say to you today, church family, don't make prayer your last resort. It ought to be our first thought. First thing in the morning, last thing we do before we go to bed, and all day long we're in this attitude of prayer. And so he's seeking God's help. And when you begin to read down through this long chapter, you begin to immediately, after he's filled with prayer, you begin to understand this cat is confident in the face of great danger. You don't have to fear anyone except the Lord. If you'll fear God, you'll have tremendous boldness and confidence in your life. Anybody in here facing a dangerous situation right now? Let me just suggest a little something to you. Why don't you go to God and seek His face and get in His presence and beg Him for His help? Especially if you're a nobody. Because God specializes in making nobodies into somebody for His glory. So that's what's going on here. He's not bound by his past. He's not bound by his foes, his enemies. But here's the third thing, and this is what I wanted to get to. He is bound by his word. Now look at verse 29. Are y'all there? Yeah, I like to hear those pages. Verse 29. Now watch this. Lean in. If you hadn't heard anything else, please get this. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He's getting ready to battle the Ammonites, these fierce warriors. And he's trying to instill confidence that he had into his Israeli army. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. He'd been praying. He's prayer focused. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord anointed him. And can I just tell you, that's where victory comes from. Whenever the Spirit of God anoints someone, they've got the power. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would often come upon an individual, normally a leader, a king. You know, they would always anoint the king with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes prophets would be anointed. Well, here Jephthah is anointed by the Spirit of Almighty God. And so he's ready for anything. This cat is Spirit-filled and prayer-focused. He's ready for victory. Do you know why today the church is losing ground? 90% of our college campuses are filled with folks who don't have a relationship with Christ. All of our denominations except the Assemblies of God are going this way in this country. Do you know why the church is losing ground? I've got the answer for you. It's right here. Because we're not filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's where the power is. That's where the power comes from. We need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You don't have to be afraid of the Spirit of God. But we act like we are. And the Bible tells us that we're to be on a regular basis filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And when you're Spirit-filled and you're prayer-focused, anything's possible. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you can have victory, but you've got to get anointed by the Spirit. Yeah. Now, when you get to the New Testament, the Holy Spirit operates a little bit differently than he did in the Old Testament. He comes to take up residence in a person's heart and a person's life, right? But you still have to surrender and submit and follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. To be filled by the Spirit doesn't mean to like pouring water into a vessel. It means to be under the control of the Spirit. To submit, to surrender. Every morning, this morning I got up. First thing I began to pray was, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I surrender my heart. I yield my mouth. My tongue gets me in trouble, y'all. And so I'm giving that to the Lord every morning. My attitudes, my spirit. God, that's all yours. Take control of me today. And man, then I get that anointing. 1 John 2 and verse 20 says, and we know that you have that anointing. Do you have the Spirit of God on you? Are you filled by Spirit? Well, if you are, you're going to be like Jephthah. You're going to get victory. Amen? We should have charged folks to come in here and hear this. Look at verse 30. And Jephthah made a vow. Remember the third key? We are bound by our word. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. And I'll offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from Aroer. Aroer That's an unbelievable name to even say. As far as Manith, 20 cities. And to Abel Karamim with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. God gave Jephthah and the Israelite army a great victory. Great victory. And he had made this promise to God, the Lord, if you deliver us from the enemy, the very first person or the very first animal, whoever, whatever comes out to greet me when I come home from victory, then I'm going to give them to you. Sacrifice, if you will. And sure enough, God gave Jephthah a great victory. Tore down 20 strongholds. Overcame 20 cities. Slaughtered the enemy. Tremendous victory. As a matter of fact, for 50 years, Israel didn't have any more trouble with the Ammonites. Isn't that good? Who is your Ammonite? You've got one, I'm sure. And so, remember, he had given his word to God. He'd made a vow. And so would he keep that vow now? Look what happens. Verse 34. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I can't go back on it." Now, I know what you're thinking here, that he's going to offer her up as a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering. But he's a man of valor. He's a mighty man of God. And he winds up in the Hebrew Hall of Fame. So would all of that have taken place if he brought his only child to be a child sacrifice? Y'all, that's not a trick question. That's right. Look at verse 31 with me. Let me just kind of unpack this. Verse 31, "Then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's." Now, that conjunction "and" can also be "or." And it makes better sense when you read it, "shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up as a burnt offering." In other words, if it had been an animal, that would have been a sacrifice, a burnt offering. But now since it's a person, his one and only daughter, he is going to commemorate that girl. He's going to dedicate that girl to full-time, just about said Christian service, but that's not in play just yet. He's going to dedicate this girl and take her to full-time service at the tabernacle. That's what's going on. But he's sad. Because these folks could never marry. And couldn't have a family. Couldn't have children. They're in full-time vocation, full-time service at the tabernacle. Look, and I watch this. Man, his daughter is just as godly as he is. Listen to what she says, verse 36. "So she said to him, 'My father, if you've given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon.' Then she said to her father, 'Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I.' So he said, 'Go.' And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father. And he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man." You see, she would be a perpetual virgin, if you will. Kind of like a nun is today. And she would serve there at the tabernacle. Whatever the priest needed her to do. And so Jephthah followed through with his vow. But they were both kind of tore up and sad because she always wanted a family. Evidently, I mean, she's grieving for 2 months because that's not going to happen. And he's sad because he ain't going to get no grandchildren. This is his only child. Y'all with me? Okay. And so she goes out for 2 months. And she grieves and weeps and prays. But then she comes back home. And then Jephthah honors his word. And he takes her for full-time service. And look at the last verse here. She knew no man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite. 4 times a year, the daughters of Israel would go probably to the tabernacle and commemorate and celebrate this wonderful daughter of Jephthah. Because she was obedient to her daddy and he kept his word. And I don't know where you are today, but maybe you've made a vow. Or maybe you've made a promise to someone. Maybe you made a promise to God and said, I'm going to join this church. Or I'm going to be baptized. Or I promise, Lord, I'm going to have a deeper walk with you than I've ever had. Or maybe you promised God you're going to serve in the nursery. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a serious thing when we give our word to someone, especially to the Lord, especially to God. Now, I don't know. I'm not meddling. But I just know. That our word is our bond. And you today may need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be a man of truth. I want to be a woman of my word. And own up. Take responsibility. Be accountable. And do what God's telling you to do. It's time to pray. Pray with me. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for the privilege of just being able to call you Lord. I believe there's some brothers and sisters and some friends of mine who are here today. And they're letting their past keep them from your best. And I pray today, God, that you'd set them free. That they would turn to you today. And then there's some others here, Lord. They're believers, but they're living a defeated Christian life. And it's because, Father, they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit behind them. Even though He's in their heart, they haven't turned all the rooms of their heart over to you. So God, I pray for that situation. And then Lord, there are others of us in here that have never, well, that have put their trust and faith in you and have made a promise to you, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and haven't followed through for whatever reason. Maybe it's been a promise to another person, a child, a spouse, a grandmother, promised to a granddad. I don't know. But right now, brothers and sisters, whenever God speaks, someone's already said it here today. Let your yes be yes. And by all means, Father, if there is someone here today that does not know you, is not in a relationship with you, I pray that they would turn from their sin and with everything they've got, turn to you and give them, just help them to give everything that they are to everything that you are by calling on your name to save you. This is your time, Father. This isn't the pastor's time. This is your time. Lord, I pray as this altar opens up here for prayer, for counsel, for whatever, God, that you would lead people to be obedient today to your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.